Hi everyone, Benjamin here. Welcome to Microbe Talk, the podcast from the Microbiology Society. This month, we're delving into the weird world of Wolbachia, bacteria that can manipulate their host reproduction for their own ends, and, just maybe, eradicate diseases like dengue in the process.
Dengue is one of the world's most devastating infectious diseases. It's sometimes called breakbone fever because of the excruciating joint and muscle pain it can cause in patients. In serious cases, infection leads to hemorrhaging and, eventually, death. About half of the entire global population, that's 3.6 billion people, is at risk of contracting dengue. There's no vaccine, so our only option to prevent the spread of the disease is to control the mosquito that transmits it, Aedes aegypti. This is no easy task. Aedes aegypti is notoriously resilient and extremely well adapted to living in urban environments. It can breed in the tiniest pockets of stagnant water, and it bites during the day, so bed nets are pretty much useless against it. Which is why scientists in Australia are currently developing a new way of preventing dengue transmission that could be completely revolutionary, using a group of bacteria called Wolbachia. If you haven't heard of Wolbachia, I wouldn't blame you, but these strange bacteria have the potential to single-handedly wipe diseases like dengue off the map.
So Wolbachia is a name given to a group of bacteria that are specialised in living inside insects, actually live inside the cells of insects.
This is Scott O'Neill, a professor at Monash University in Melbourne, Australia.
And they're really restricted just to invertebrates. We don't see them infecting vertebrates or humans or anything naturally. And incredibly common in the environment, up to 60% of all insect species naturally has Wolbachia.
Back in the early 2000s, Scott and his team came across a research paper showing that Wolbachia could shorten the lifespan of fruit flies. So they wondered, could they do the same thing in mosquitoes?
Because lifespan is a key determinant of mosquitoes' ability to transmit disease agents. So if we could shorten the lifespan of the mosquito by just a little bit, it could have a big impact on the disease epidemiology. So we started working with trying to introduce into Aedes aegypti Wolbachia strains that were life-shortening.
Aedes aegypti mosquitoes don't naturally carry Wolbachia, so this was no mean feat. Using microscopic needles, the team injected the insect eggs with Wolbachia to see if they would take, and most of the time, they didn't. Sometimes a process would simply destroy the eggs, other times a bacteria would disappear after a couple of generations. Eventually, after thousands of attempts, they succeeded in infecting Aedes aegypti mosquitoes with Wolbachia. But a few years later, to their complete surprise, the researchers found that Wolbachia had another effect. As well as shortening the insect's lifespan, the bacteria somehow blocked the replication of dengue virus inside mosquito cells. And if the virus couldn't replicate inside the mosquito couldn't transmit it to humans. Wolbachia had made one of the most dangerous insects on the planet completely harmless.
We think that that's acting in a couple of different ways. Part of it, we think, might be related to enhancement of the, or turning on, if you like, of the insect's innate immune system. But we also think there's maybe something more important than that, and that is Wolbachia's interaction with lipids in the insect cell, particularly fatty acids like cholesterol, where we think that Wolbachia's requirement for those molecules for itself means that they're becoming less available for viruses that also need them to replicate. And so this competition for key fatty acids, we think, is quite critical to the mechanism.
Scott now leads a research program called Eliminate Dengue, which aims to prevent dengue transmission around the world using a strain of Wolbachia. The program relies not only on Wolbachia's ability to reduce virus replication, but also on some rather clever tricks that the bacteria use to spread through insect populations.
What's unusual about them is they get passed from one generation to the next in the insects through the eggs that female lays. And so essentially what happens is that when you have a male insect that has Wolbachia, the Wolbachia is not able to be transmitted through the sperm. It's only transmitted through the female lineage, through the eggs. But a male that has Wolbachia, somehow its sperm gets modified by the Wolbachia. And so that when it fertilizes an egg, if that egg has Wolbachia in it, then everything's great. The egg gets fertilized normally and it hatches and the offspring has Wolbachia. But if that female had an egg that was not infected with Wolbachia and the male had the infection, when those two would mate, the eggs that are produced wouldn't hatch. So in a way, Wolbachia is spiteful in that it prevents females that don't have Wolbachia from reproducing if they mate with males that have Wolbachia.
So just to recap, if a female has Wolbachia, then her eggs will always hatch, no matter who she mates with. But if a female doesn't have Wolbachia and she mates with a male that does, her eggs won't hatch. This evolutionary trick means that once Wolbachia is present in enough insect males, females with Wolbachia do better than females without it. The mechanism allows Wolbachia to spread very quickly through mosquito populations in just a few generations. So if you release enough mosquitoes with Wolbachia into areas with dengue, you can have a big impact on disease transmission.
The first place we did open field trials was in Australia back in 2011. And there we went into North Queensland where there's regular dengue transmission and the mosquito Aedes aegypti occurs. And we went into communities there and released first mosquitoes and were able to show that we could get establishment of Wolbachia in those communities. And indeed now the first communities we went into was over 5 years ago now, and those communities still have mosquito populations that have close to 100% Wolbachia infection without us doing anything. It's just maintained itself. And so in Australia, we've been doing progressively larger releases until now. We're doing releases over whole cities with the idea of working out how best to release. At the same time as we're doing that, we're wanting to get more direct measures on efficacy and the impact of what we're doing. And so we've set up large sites in Indonesia and Vietnam where we have very intense dengue transmission, much more than in Australia. And in those sites, we're doing large deployments aimed at, or in the framework of rigorous efficacy trials, where we're going to actually directly measure the amount of dengue reduction. And then finally, we're doing releases in South America, in Brazil and Colombia, and where we're gearing up to do quite large-scale deployments there, where not in the context of efficacy trial, but in the context of doing very large deployments over millions of people, where we'll have an alternative way to measure impact.
The early results certainly seem promising. Eliminate Dengue's approach is different from other methods of vector control because they aren't trying to suppress the insect populations, just make them harmless. And, if it works, their method would only require a single release of mosquitoes. After that, the process takes care of itself. The researchers have also worked hard to show that their method would be safe, that Wolbachia can't be passed on to humans, and that releasing insects with Wolbachia wouldn't harm the environment. And, understandably, they spent a lot of time talking to local communities where they want to release Wolbachia mosquitoes.
Our intervention requires us to release mosquitoes into communities, and the mosquitoes we release will bite people because we need females that will transfer the Wolbachia into the next generation, and females are the ones that bite. And so that requires a lot of trust from the community to go into a community and say, look, we're trialing this method, and in order for it to work, we're going to actually release mosquitoes. Well, you've heard all your life that you should kill mosquitoes. We're actually a group of scientists that are going to put more into the environment. And so that requires a very high level of trust from the community in what we're doing. And so community engagement is a very big part of our work, where, you know, more than 25% of the resources to do a release in a particular site are devoted to community engagement activities. And in our community engagement, we're wanting to listen to concerns people have, be able to address those concerns in a meaningful way, and really to establish trust with the community. And in all of the locations where we've worked, we have overwhelming public support for what we're doing. And I think, you know, that's largely a result of the very intensive community engagement efforts that go along with the work that we're doing.
In all the places where they have released Wolbachia so far, there is no local dengue transmission at all. Now, this isn't in the context of an efficacy trial, but it certainly bodes well for their larger studies. And, even more exciting, other research groups are now looking into using Wolbachia to stop diseases like chikungunya and Zika. So perhaps one day, Wolbachia could be used like a bacterial silver bullet, targeting multiple infections with just one intervention. I asked Scott when we could expect to see the Eliminate Dengue program being rolled out on a large scale.
All of this is in a framework as we're learning of how to reduce cost. We're a not-for-profit group that's working on this, and our goal is to be able to make the technology as broadly available as possible. And as part of that goal, we're wanting to see whether we can get the cost of implementation down to less than $1 per person. I think we're well on the way for that, and that will be achievable over the next couple of years. The other thing is that we're wanting to get gold standard statistical evidence on the impact on reducing disease. I think we're 2 years away from having that. And then the third thing we're wanting to do is to be able to learn how to deploy this, not only cheaply, but successfully across really large cities. And we're starting to do that at the moment in South America. So I think once those three pieces come together and the efficacy data is as good as we think it will be, then I think we'll be moving to fairly rapid global deployment.
Right, everyone, that's it for this month's edition of Microbe Talk. Just before I go, if you're a microbiologist, you might be interested in submitting an abstract to one of the Microbiology Society's upcoming focus meetings. Abstract submissions are still open for the dynamic fungus, which closes on the 30th of May, which is very soon indeed, so get your skates on if you've got an abstract to submit. The Irish Division meeting on host-pathogen interactions, and that's open until the 3rd of June. And the Irish Division meeting on the microbe-immune system interface, and that closes on the 22nd of July. You can find out more information about all of our events on our website, and that's microbiologysociety.org. You can follow the Society on Twitter, we're at microbiosoc, and you can follow us on Facebook as well. This month's show was edited and produced by Anand Jagatia. I've been Dr. Benjamin Thompson. Thanks for listening. See you all next time.